in the Pattern Podcast. Make left traffic, clear for the option.
Minneapolis departure, Archer 641, Charlie 2000, climbing 3000.
Line up and wait, 7 range, 4 Mike Alpha.
Mark Tower 172, Romeo Hotel, hold short on 133, ready to take off.
Albert Delta 3321, Mike, enemy downwind for runway 25.
I'm John.
I'm Chris.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Mark.
And we are the In the Pattern Podcast. Found a Cherokee 160 for like
Warrior.
38. It was a 1961, I think. But it had a 430W in it, which is...
That's half the cost of the plane.
Yeah, so at that point I was just like, well, 1,200 hours and a 430? Yeah, I think I'll take that.
Well, 430W.
Yeah.
I mean, that W is about to become a really big deal.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need ADS-B out, and having a WAS source already on board is going to save you a crap ton of money.
Mm. New paint, though.
Just shut up and buy it.
I can't yet. Not yet. Soon.
Yeah, that's a Warrior. Is it got the? It's got the Hershey bar wing, right?
It has the old
Hershey bar wing. I love that wing. It is such a joy to land. It really is. It's a lot. We had a Challenger, which is it's basically the same aircraft. I can't remember if it's a 160 or a 180. It was essentially the same airplane with the Hershey bar wing, and I loved it. It was so much fun. It was so easy to land it. I mean, not that the tapered wing is very difficult, but I just got consistently really nice landings with that wing.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But it had no GPS whatsoever in ours.
No, that's one of the things I'm going to do it. I want to get a 430 already in it or something like that, just because if I'm going to do IFR and with everything, I'd rather just have it.
Yeah.
Cost you as much to put one in as the device itself, so might as well.
Yeah.
Well, and avionics shops are about to get really busy. I would say if you don't have your ADS-B out solution scheduled by January 1 of 2018, you're not making it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty much stuck needing it here, so.
Right, you can't take off out of my airport without ADS-B out.
Okay.
So.
Because it's Mode C, right? Essentially, they're following that.
It's essentially Mode, yeah, if you're anywhere under the Mode C veil, you have to have ADS-B out.
Yeah.
And that's us.
I've got three of them here.
What do you mean by that? You don't have to have it now.
No,
you have to have it by 2020, you will.
Right.
But then that's everybody.
But the avionics shops will book up years in advance.
Mm.
Because it's, you know,
yeah,
it's a non-trivial install, especially if you don't have WAS already, because they have to run an antenna out the roof and out the bottom, right?
There's the portable ones. I mean, if all you're going to do is the out piece and you don't really care about receiving the incoming, you can just buy the Stratus?
No, that's in.
No, that's in. That's out in only.
Out has to be TSO. It has to be physically attached to the airplane, registered to the airframe.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, if it was as simple as just buying a Stratus, then this wouldn't be a huge deal.
Yeah.
Well, the deal is, you know, spending thousands of dollars for something that's mandatory now instead of optional. That's the government again helping you with what you need.
It's just like Mode C.
Yeah.
$1,000 versus $20,000 is very different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 20. I mean, you can get a complete Mode C solution with WAS for 5 and 6 by the time it's installed. It's not like buying a 430. You don't need a 430 to do ADS-B.
Yeah.
It's just a bonus.
you won't be able to shoot precision instrument approaches for $6,000, you know. You get a lot with a 430W, you know, that classic 1994 technology.
Yep.
And that's the big upgrade, right? We're upgrading to 1994 technology and it's only $20,000.
Yeah.
That's how this goes.
In your $38,000 airplane.
Hey, you're paying like $25,000 to $40,000 for an engine that was top of the line 1940s technology.
Well, 1950s, but yeah, I get your point. I concede your point for sure.
Well, I mean, my buddy Dean's got a 1946, Cessna 140. We go fly in, and they still make that Continental engine that he's got in his.
Right.
Okay, well, on that note, welcome to episode 50 of the In the Pattern podcast. We've made it to a half century. How's that feel, guys?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
And those are my two good friends in the virtual hangar with me. We've got Brad Kane to my north.
And,
yeah. And we got Mr. John Conway to my northeast. How are you doing, bud?
Oh, good. Hello? Good.
I was going to say, north doesn't really narrow it down for anybody from your perspective.
Yeah.
I think we're both northeast, too. So
you're more northeast, yeah, the most.
Well, I'm more east. He's more north.
Right.
From me, everybody's north. And unfortunately, to my west, I don't have anybody tonight. But we would like to send out a congratulations to Mark. It's his 21st wedding anniversary.
And he wouldn't come to the 50th, recording of the 50th episode of the podcast. He prioritized, I mean, that's only 21.
I know.
Jeez.
You know, 50s, you know.
It's a larger anniversary. Obviously.
Yeah,
this is the golden. Yep.
I suppose so. Well,
though, in all seriousness, this is episode 81 that'll be posted to the feed.
No, technically, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's
if you count the small ones, but
yeah. Do you count it if you split one into Alpha and Bravo? Do those?
Well, according to our stats on the back end of the podcast system here, we have 80 published episodes, which includes every single post. So that's including the intro, all the other ones. So we've posted 80 files. Individual files.
Ah.
Well, I'm up for doing more, so.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, we'll have at it then.
Soon we'll be borrowing the UCAP guy's 200 sign.
Oh, yeah.
Filling it with beer.
Yeah, I don't know about soon. Well,
you
let's
know,
see it.
5 years.
Right. Right, we do 20 to 25 a year. So 75, 100.
All right, eight to ten years.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll just keep at it and see how it works out. Anyways, how's everything been going this week?
It's cold. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I say it's cold,
yeah,
it's exceptional.
Your definition of cold is very different than mine. It was cold outside on the way home. It was like 50.
Yeah, above.
That's like shorts weather for you, I understand.
Yeah, no, that is very much like shorts weather for me. Like,
wow.
if I go for a run, I don't get too hot when it's 50.
Mm-hmm. You sweat icicles, I understand.
But when when I go for a run and it's 10, then it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how it is there. I saw how it was in Buffalo yesterday. Or day before.
Yeah, they have another one coming.
Yeah.
And like they're going to be up over 8 feet. It's going to look like the UP.
Yep. Did you see the picture of the Buffalo Bills stadium?
I just saw that tonight.
I haven't seen it yet. I heard that it was going to be horrible and it's going to be worse.
Well, they canceled it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they canceled the game and said they'll just reschedule it, but
they moved it to Monday night in Detroit.
Yeah, that makes more sense. They're not getting that snow out of that stadium anytime soon, and especially if there's more coming in, because it was up to the first row. I mean, from ground level, it was sitting first row of seats. So
yeah, and you just can't see any of the first level of the entire stadium. It's just snow.
Wow.
So I posted the link. We'll post it in the show notes here.
That's horrendous. It's this time of year where, you know, we think back and it's like 115, 120 degrees, and it's basically doesn't get below 100 degrees for the better part of 90 days, no matter what time of day it is almost. But, you know, we have some exceptional weather coming through the winters. We don't have to worry about road conditions and stuff like that. And there's no snow days for school. I'm sure the kids out here talking to any of their relatives who might be out of state, and they can't even fathom what a snow day is.
How many heat days? You don't have any heat days? No heat days?
Yeah, everything comes equipped with air conditioning out here that has redundant systems, I suppose. So.
Even we out here have they'll close school sometimes if it gets too hot.
Yeah. Well, does your house have an air conditioner?
Oh yeah. Oh, everybody here has them.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. No. Because we have them, but
we use them for 4 days a year. So.
No, we use it for more than that. I mean, here it goes. You know, we'll hit 100 plenty of times during the summer, and then you know we'll hit cold as, you know, pretty cold during the winter. So we've always got both in every house.
Mm. Well, this is that time of year where every day's a great day to fly, probably.
Yeah.
So this is a windy season for us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it gets into it's just. There's a lot of days where it's just pretty windy fall day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hit or miss on whether you're going to have a good day to fly out here. And it's generally that way all through the winter.
Yeah,
we're into the icing season, so we were supposed to get 10 to 14 inches, but the first several inches of it just melted and turned to ice on the ground, and I don't think we got more than, I don't know, 6 inches of snow, which isn't unusual. What's unusual is that we still have 6 inches of snow on the ground. Usually it melts, but it's been really, really, really cold for early November, and we're all kind of going, wait, this is going to be really terrible. if it's this cold now, what's it going to be like in January? But nothing to do but watch your heat bill go up.
Oh yeah.
Heat bill. I'm loving the geothermal right now.
Geothermal, huh?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
My bill was low in the winter and the summer.
Now, speaking of houses and so forth, we just bought a new house. Matter of fact, it was just our offer was accepted a couple days ago, so I'm going to be moving pretty soon. We close January 7th. So.
Does it have a hanger?
It does not have a hangar.
Oh, you didn't get a residential air park? Come on.
Surprisingly.
Disappointed.
I know. As excited about aviation as my wife is, as you know. I guess.
She subscribes to Callback.
Yeah.
So as a consolation, you're getting an airplane, right?
Something like that, yeah.
or a Mooney time.
Just to be putting one more child through college, and that's on the horizon. So we'll see. I really wanted to build from scratch, buy my own, you know, buy the lot and build from scratch. And
oh, I thought you meant airplane.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad either. That would take a long time to fly.
You have some garage space.
We got a 3-car garage, but we have 5 cars. So in the family,
no, airplane's more important. Who cares?
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
You got a basement?
No.
Yeah, how about a bedroom? There.
There's very few basements out here.
I'm sure you'll find some place to build an airplane.
Yeah.
How's that Mooney?
Yeah, the Mooney. I've got a funny story about the Mooney. Franz has been listening. He listened to our last episode. And so the Mooney's done. All put back together. And Franz went and took it on its initial flight with the CFI, and we talked about that last episode, I think.
Yes, we did. Buzzed your work.
And, yeah, buzzed me over at the office, that's right. So anyways, Franz goes to take it out by himself a few weeks back, and he gets in the plane, and, you know, like I told you, everything got re-leathered. It's just gorgeous over top of the original plastics. But it made shutting the door a little more difficult because some of the leather's kind of bunched up and whatnot. And he was tugging on the door, trying to get it shut, tugging on the door, and he pulls the door handle off. So that really doesn't deter him too much. He's got a friend outside the door who's pushing on the door now to get it shut, and he's pushing down now on the handle to lock it. Snaps that thing right off, too.
Franz,
I'm sorry, dude.
It was going to be either that or the hinge.
There's
nothing in the MEL for that aircraft that says that you have to have a door.
Well, there you go. It's just a little breezy. He's got an iPad. We don't need charts in there anyways. Got all the parts ordered, took the door off, and got it down to the leather guy. He fixed up the leather right quick and got the parts ordered immediately. So we'll be back in business shortly. It won't be much, you know, it might even be already done by now for all I know. But it was a little misfortunate accident right there.
The joys of airplane ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least he didn't have to pay for the hangar and the, you know, the bank payment for that month, right?
Well, yeah, because it was all being worked on for all that time. It was like 3 months, I think.
Jeez, ow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about getting recurrent.
Yeah, so, really. It's like he's out of 90-day currency by the time the plane's out of annual.
Mm-hmm. Well, my other buddy, Dean, with the 140, had a problem with, I keep thinking oil pump, but it might have been something else. But anyways, he was down for the better part of 90-plus days for some part that he needed. So he was out of currency to where he had to go fly by himself for the first time, you know. I need to find friends with airplanes that are fixed, not broken. I know, man. Do you guys have any planes that are flyable and have been able to fly?
I have planes that are flyable.
All right.
Actually flying them, different story.
I was going to say.
Yeah. No, this is my month off of flying. in my alternating at the moment.
You're flying bi-monthly, is that right?
For a little bit, yeah.
Is that bi-monthly or semi-monthly?
Bi-monthly.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking about it, and so I'm going to do something probably sometime after December 15th. So somewhere around Christmas, I'm going to go up again. My issue is I am very, very near needing a medical again.
You too.
So, yeah.
But your medicals last like 5 years.
I know. It's been 5 years since I had mine.
Wow.
Coming up in January. I started my training in January 2010.
Shoot. That's
so, this podcast has been going on for 4 years.
Egads.
Yeah.
I got to go find my year.
I know, right?
Book.
So, I'm still good for 5 years, but I'm up in January, so I got to go... get that done. Figure out where I'm going to go.
Mine ends at the end of the month, or the end of December, rather.
So your month before me, okay.
Yeah, and I have... I went to call my AME, because nice guy, really good guy, and he's retired. So I've scheduled with another AME, just get it out of the way before the holidays come and all that kind of stuff.
So wow. I'm going to wait till after the holidays.
I just had a heart attack thinking for a second it was 4 years, not 5 years. Because mine was May 10th of 2010. So I guess I got until April or May.
May 31st.
That's right, May 31st. Wow.
But that's your last 5 year like me, right?
Yeah, that's right, because I'm 40. I'll be 44 then.
So...
Oh, so you squeaked under with the 5 years.
Under the 2 year program.
Oh, yeah, that was nice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, same deal. I looked into it. I asked the AME, and there is no price difference between a class 2 and a class 3.
Oh.
So I'm going to get my class 2 on the theory that I'll finish off my commercial in 2015. Mm. And then I could actually fly, you know, under the commercial ticket. Which basically would mean I could ferry an airplane, right? That would be about the only commercial flying I could do.
I think that'd be a blast.
Yeah.
As a job. if you could find enough business.
But for the getting paid part, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd like to do it on the side every once in a while just to get to do some cool stuff, see some different parts. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I don't know if I could do it every day, all day.
Fly some different planes.
Every once in a while, we'll have a plane get stranded, especially in the wintertime. We'll have a plane get stranded because somebody didn't plug it in or whatever. It's cold or it snowed or something. And we'll send somebody out to pick it up. You know, we'll send two guys out in one plane, and then they'll each fly the two planes back. And that's, you know, you could do it. You don't have to pay for it if you have your commercial, right? The club will pick up the cost to get the plane home. So, but if you don't have your commercial, then of course you're on the hook. You have to pay the operating cost.
Okay.
So, yeah. So at least I could theoretically do that. And what else? Oh, the Mooney's back.
Oh,
you had the prop strike, correct?
Yep. Yeah. It's got a brand new engine. They TBO'd the engine and just replaced it. Got a brand new engine, brand new prop.
Because you were at
much straighter on the new prop than they were on the old one.
You were at TBO time on the engine anyways, right?
Yeah, we were within 40 or 50 hours of TBO.
Yeah, it's a perfect time for a prop strike. Let's give it up. A round of applause for the guy who did that.
Yeah.
Well, let's hold off on that.
So we've had two prop strikes and a runway overrun on this aircraft in a year.
Wow.
That's getting spendy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a great airplane and everything, but man, if you don't fly the numbers on the way in, you're asking for problems.
Got to start slowing up like 50 miles out.
Well, so
a little drastic, but no, yeah.
Yeah, 10 miles out is when I pull the throttle back in that plane. I start to get it at a reasonable speed by the time I enter the pattern. Because entering the pattern at 150 knots ain't cool.
Yeah. Then you ask the tower for an overhead brake.
Yeah. But I've actually managed to get a little bit of flying time in. I've done a little bit of day, a little bit of night, some aero time. I haven't taken the Mooney out yet since it came home. But I do have it scheduled for a few flights in January. It's remarkable how easy it is to book aircraft in January in our club.
You get the pick of the litter, huh?
Whatever you want, buddy.
Yeah, any time of day, you got it.
Now, the big problem, of course, is that if it's cloudy, you're stuck. And if it's below zero, you're stuck. So,
yeah. You fly primarily by yourself? Or are you an Aiden?
Yeah, I would say 80% of my flights are just me going to the airport and flying.
Wow.
In a very, very spur of the moment.
You ain't got like a list of people the length of your arm begging you to go fly with you all the time?
I have a few, and there is a list, but so often, given my schedule to date, the opportunities to go flying are just so sort of spur of the moment and unplanned.
Hmm.
That it just works out best that way. I think going forward in 2015, I'll have a little bit more ability to kind of schedule stuff out and do those kinds of things. But for right now, up until now, it's been very sporadic and not highly predictable. It's more like, hey, I've got a few hours to kill. And, you know, that happens like once every few weeks. And I usually don't have more than a few hours notice. And so I'll just go on. I'd find a plane, book it, and go.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's my typical modus operandi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know me and Chris were talking last week about how we're pretty much always filling our seats with someone.
Way more enjoyable. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is more enjoyable. I agree. I think we're the same mindset.
Yeah. I'm going to go fly on Saturday. So like I told you, you know, bought a new house, happened also, buy a new truck and sell a truck. And I ended up selling my truck. You probably saw this on Twitter to a guy in Tucson. And as we're texting back and forth to each other, I'm like, hey, for an extra $100, I'll come down and pick you up and bring you back so you can, just drive one vehicle back instead of two. He's like, sure, okay. So I'm going to go grab him at Ryan Airfield.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
About that? And I've never been to Ryan, so I get to check off another airport that I haven't been to yet, so that's pretty cool.
How many airports do you have in Arizona?
I don't know the total number. You're talking about public?
Yeah. Do you have like the airport ambassador thing like we do up here?
What does that mean?
Do we have a little passport that you can take to different airports and stamp it at each one? And if you get to so many airports, you get stuff?
Like, I never.
There are 139 public use airports in Minnesota. And if you get like 120 of them, they'll give you like this really sweet leather jacket from the state airport commission. And if you get to like some very relatively small number, you'll get a pin, and you get to more and you get like a case of oil, and you know, you kind of work your way up to this leather jacket.
There's the airnav.com airports for Arizona. That's not that many. It's I thought it would be more.
I just looked at Maryland. It looks like it's in the 30s. So not a whole lot here, which I'm trying to see if there's anybody missing. But as far as I can tell, they've covered all of them.
My county of Maricopa is larger than Maryland. I'm almost positive. I'd be willing to bet money that Maricopa County is larger than Maryland.
I'm sure there's a place where we could find this out.
No.
All right, so you pasted in Phoenix airports. I'm going to drop in the...
Well, this is all of Arizona, but yeah.
I'm in Arizona. I'm dropping in Maryland here.
Okay.
So look at the difference there in the lists.
Oh, that's cute.
It's not what I want to hear.
Salisbury. They make good. They have good steak.
Yeah, that's not what they're in for.
Or a hill. Yeah, now go to Minnesota.
Working that. Hang on.
Wow. That's a long list.
Yeah, it's a little... I think it's probably a little bit longer than Arizona's.
It's got to be nearly twice.
Yeah. And we have great names.
You do.
Sleepy Eye, Piney Pine Creek. I like Piney Pine Creek because one end of the runway is in, and the ramp is in Canada, and the other end is in Minnesota, and you can clear customs going either direction at the same airport.
Excuse me?
The north end of the runway at Piney Pine Creek is in Canada, and the north end of the ramp is in Canada. The ramp is in exactly the center of the runway.
So depending on which way the pattern entrance is for the day, based on the winds and so forth, maybe entering from the Canada side or the U.S. side.
Right, yeah. You could be flying from the U.S., land on the Canadian side, and then taxi over to the Canadian end of the, you know.
That's fantastic as far as I'm concerned. That's very unique.
Now, clearing customs at these airports is quite the experience, apparently. I haven't done it yet. I have yet to fly into Canada. But you have to call ahead by several days to get somebody to drive to the airport and be there.
Oh, so they don't have a TSA agent staked out there for you. Yeah.
Negative.
Negative.
So, yeah, you have to call way ahead, and then you can't go anywhere else. Like, it is a real problem for you if you divert.
While we're doing this here, we'll just go ahead and add Mark's. We'll pretend he's here. There's California.
Oh, there can't be very many airports in California.
It's well,
a small state.
Nah. Actually, you don't have that many less, I would bet. Seems like your list is nearly this long.
Nah, I don't think so. It's probably two-thirds the length, though. Maybe three-quarters.
That's a lot of airports.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Van Nuys.
Yeah.
The second busiest airport in the country.
Well, 51 weeks out of the year.
That's right. Deer Valley still holds the crown for busiest as of yet.
Why? Who wants to go to Phoenix?
It's all the training.
Yeah, it's counted by operation, not counted by passengers.
Yeah, just landings and takeoffs. Movements. Hmm. Did you read that story about that guy that was talked down by the air traffic controller? He was stuck on top.
I haven't read it yet. It was like 8,000 feet on top, right?
I just saw something about that today.
Here, I'll throw you the link.
Oh, that Maryland list of airports is really cute.
Oh, now nice you're special. Saying that, huh?
He was It says here, it doesn't say exactly, but it says the plane was stuck above thousands of feet of clouds. The clouds were thousands of feet thick. I'm not sure how.
Yeah, it says 8,500. It says he was at 8,500 feet. He had to get to the ground, so it depends on what the ceiling was, I guess.
Oh, there it was. Yeah.
Oh, 2,000 feet. So he had 6,500 feet of cloud deck. That's no joke. I mean, that's work to get through
for a VFR pilot, you know.
Yeah. All right. That's a lot of
sweating bullets. But props to that controller and that VFR pilot, you know, keeping it under control. He said he couldn't see the prop on the front of the airplane. That's how much in the soup he was. That's kind of bad.
It really doesn't matter.
No.
if you can't see the prop, or you can't see 20 feet beyond the prop.
I can still feel the vibration and humming, so I know the engine's running. Other than that, I can't tell anything. So,
they broke out at 700 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, that's not a lot of room.
Yeah, he had to walk him down. I think it talks like, there was no airport around within several hundred miles that was in visual conditions. So this guy just had to walk him down to,
whatever's nearby, yeah.
Whatever he could find, yeah.
He's lucky. Where was this?
Houston.
Houston. Okay, yeah. I mean, you get into that situation over the mountains, and now you've got a real problem.
Oh, yeah. Out here? Man. I don't know. I'd be like checking the gas going, I got to go somewhere where I know it's flatter. Because this ain't working.
Yes, you've come out of the clouds, you've got 800 feet of visibility, and there's a cliff right in front of you.
Yeah, there's a 2,000-foot mountain in front of you.
That Far Side comic where the guy's in the airplane and he's saying, that's weird, I wonder what that goat's doing up here in that cloud.
Right. Mountain goat. Well, yeah, that was, I hope to never experience that.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a lot of minutes, too. I mean, if he's going 500 feet a minute descent, you're looking at 20 minutes in the soup. That's a long time to hold on.
Yeah, just keep staring at that artificial horizon.
Well, and you got to include in your scan
the whole six pack, but
at the very least, the horizon and the altimeter, and probably the DG would be a good idea, too.
Don't believe your inner ear, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
So did anybody say why he was up there?
Yeah, I didn't really. I haven't saw a story as to how he got.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
I managed to find myself above 7,000 feet of clouds.
I was just doing touch and goes. All of the sudden.
And that doesn't bother me as much, except for there was no airport around within several hundred miles that was visual conditions. Right. That right there is what bothers me.
He was clearly planning on going to somewhere else that he thought he was going to be able to get into, and then ran himself into the soup.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, I see a little more now.
Why did he decide to stop being above the clouds then?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really interesting questions, and I'm not faulting the pilot at all. I don't know what happened, but it's just, you know, for some reason, he decided that was the point beyond which he couldn't go any further, and he had to get down.
I wonder if he got into it and then was like, well, let's just see. I'll probably break out in a minute.
Oh,
and then before long, it'll break up
and I'll be able to see the ground.
Right. He's got who knows how many miles of clouds now behind him, and he probably even turned around at some point and said, oh, I better turn around. But then he was like, I'm in no better shape. And before long, he's got nothing but soup. So, I don't know. Monday morning quarterback, easy to do.
Yeah, I'm curious about just the lead up to it, and really what actually happened here, other than him getting down. Like, what got him into that situation? I'm very curious about that.
Yeah,
just to see what, you know.
I'm just glad it was this type of news story versus the other kind that happens in this situation.
Yeah,
right. Which definitely is what happens almost every time when you get into the soup without without the training.
Yep. So
the thing that has always scared me is the number of instrument radars who lose control in IMC.
Mm.
You know, it's not by any stretch a guarantee that you're not going to get spatial disorientation just because you did your 40 hours.
Dude, I'm totally worried about that because out here, the amount of actual that I'll actually get when I do that training, the chances are slim that I'm going to get much actual at all, ever. I'm going to be under the hood all the time instead of getting any actual, I bet. So,
yeah,
you know.
Get under the hood at night over the mountains where there's absolutely nothing that's going to feed information to your brain.
There you go. Yeah.
And you know, just be really high. And, of course, your co-pilot or your CFII can see and knows, you know, the altitudes and everything. And do it that way. You know, make it as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Or go to San Diego for, you know, do 5 hours in San Diego in the marine layer.
There you go.
Not a bad idea. Try to get out of Phoenix for a little while.
Yeah.
Go visit Mark.
Especially in the summer.
And, there's several friends down that way, actually.
Go to Houston. It looks like they've got a lot of clubs.
They've got plenty.
And really good controllers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got that going for you, so. Yeah. Oh, man. How about that dude who got a $1,200 bill for Wi-Fi usage on Singapore Airlines? Did you see that?
No.
No?
No, he wasn't flying GA, though.
No, but...
flying the plane Part 91.
He purchased the $20, but it was 20 pounds. This is from a UK story, but he purchased a 20-pound Wi-Fi package, but incurred additional charges. It ended up being $1,200. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, $38 access fee.
It adds up.
For 30 megabytes of data transfer.
Dude, it adds up.
Shouldn't have been
with
watching
just
YouTube
155
videos.
Page views, mostly to his email and a file upload. So 155 page views and mostly email isn't a lot, but the file upload. Now, what file was that?
He was uploading a DVD, I think, or an HD video. I don't know, a 4K video. Wow, that's horrendous. He wrote on his blog, I can think of a lot of other things I'd rather spend $1,200 on.
Oops.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, they're based on time. And he spent an hour uploading a 4 megabyte PowerPoint document.
Oh.
He said he was napping a lot.
He said that doc probably cost me $100 to upload, so I hope my team liked it.
Yeah.
Well, at least it sounds like he should be able to expense it.
Hopefully. They need to cut him a break. After all this press, hopefully they cut him a break on it. I haven't seen any follow-ups from it, but I like the picture. Try the internet. It's only $1,200. They're pointing to an A380 Singapore Airlines Airbus. That's awesome.
So am I the only one that's flown?
That seems to be the standard around here.
How pathetic is that?
We like for you to tell us a story about what flying's like. And then,
how did it feel?
Yeah, I got to do some really good crosswinds. I took the aero out and I flew out to a place and while I did all of my appropriate pilot stuff to make sure that, you know, I knew the runway lengths and I knew the winds and the weather and all that kind of briefing-oriented stuff, I did not check to see if the restaurant to which I was flying was actually open at the time that I got there. And it closed 2 minutes before I landed. So I got to fly back. But I did get to land in a 24-knot crosswind. 85 degree crosswind.
Ooh, that's kind of sporty.
That was, and I was, you know, prepping for it. I knew it was coming because I had done the pre-flight work and checked the weather and all that good stuff. And there was an AWOS on the field. And so I had, you know, the 2 minute weather as I was coming in. And I was all set up to go around. Like if this, because it wasn't a very big runway, I think it was 2,500 or 2,000 feet. And I'm like, well, if this doesn't pan out, you know, I'll just power up and leave. And the landing wasn't hard. The takeoff was much more challenging.
Mm.
Because as soon as I took off, there was a bit of a breeze close to the ground. But then when I got to be 20 or 30 feet, basically above the trees, all of a sudden I was crabbed 40, 45 degrees off of the runway heading.
Wow.
And just going, okay. And so, yeah, I found that pretty consistently. Crosswind takeoffs are a lot more work for me, at least, than crosswind landings are. And then I came back home and landed here. They were still using the main runways and not the crosswind runways, despite it was about a 60 degree, 20 knot crosswind back at Crystal. And so, I mean, the good news about that was there was nobody else flying that day. So I, you know, had the whole airport to myself. And I even got a kudos from the tower when I managed to keep it on the center line and, you know, do the whole upwind, downwind, nose gear landing. So
had your own little audience, huh?
Yeah, I had my own. They weren't doing anything else. Let's watch this idiot.
You look up at the tower. They got the scorecards out. 8.5, 7.9.
He 9.5. Stuck the landing.
Croatia screwed him again.
At least I didn't do the Southwest Airlines wheelbarrow landing.
Well, landing nose first in a prop plane is, well, ask your Mooney guy. He knows.
Exactly. Yeah, we've done it twice in the Mooney.
Not a good idea. That's already a low rider to start with.
Yeah, the Mooney has a lot shorter gear and a longer prop than the Cherokees do. The prop on the six always blows me away by how big it is. I can't reach if it's got two blades down and one up. I cannot reach the top of the up blade.
Really? Huh?
It's huge.
Guess I've never been up that close to them.
Hmm. Yeah, or I'm short. One of those.
Well, it's okay. No, it's not the 300 horse. It's a 260.
We have the 260.
Yeah,
but it's the three blade prop means that, you know.
Yeah.
When you're pulling one of them around by hand, of course you've got the prop horizontal, and with a two blade prop, no big deal. With this, you've got two down and one up, and the one up is way the heck up there.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was my main interesting flying story. I did do a little bit of night flying because again we're in that season where it's pitch dark at 5.
Yeah, you get out of work, it's night.
Yeah, and the sun it's light out at about 7 in the morning. So we have lots of opportunities to get night current, which is fine. I love flying at night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nearly got and nearly availed myself of the opportunity to fly to Green Bay and watch a Packer game on Sunday.
That'd be cool.
Until I found out that the tickets were $350 a pop, and I said, nah, I'll pass.
Yikes. Where's the, is there a close little GA airport where you could grab a crew car or something, or get a taxi, or what? How would that work?
I have some friends that live there that in the past just pick us up and take us, but otherwise, yeah, there's a shuttle that'll get you from the airport to the stadium. And in fact, the airport is on a long downwind. I'm sorry, the stadium is on a long downwind from the airport.
Mm.
So the last time I flew in, I asked the tower for an extended downwind, and just so that we could fly over the stadium and take pictures. That was fun.
I don't know
how they do it with the TFR.
I was going to say, wouldn't there be a TFR in place?
Well, so if you read the TFR, I guess I do know how they do it. You're not allowed in unless you're authorized by air traffic control.
Okay.
Which means basically if you're going to land at the airport at all, you're going to go through the TFR and they're going to have to authorize you.
I see. Just an exception based on location.
Yeah.
And needs and whatnot, I guess. So, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, see how that works out for Super Bowl Sunday down here in Phoenix, since it's across the street from Glendale Airport.
Yeah, you can see the Packers again.
Yeah, is that right? So do you think my Arizona Cardinals are going to be the only team in history so far to actually host and be in a Super Bowl at the same time?
No, they might host the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
NFC, what's that?
That would be the team that, you know, actually shows up at the Super Bowl as opposed to the conference. Like, how did Denver do last year, John?
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just thinking the year before.
Quit living in the past.
Yeah, if you want to talk about living in the past, we've got four Lombardi trophies. And who's that named after again?
Yeah. Hey, we got two now.
We just took this off the tracks, didn't we?
Well, when there's only one guy flying and it's an aviation podcast, sorry, listeners, you're going to have to suffer through episode 50.
That's all right. 50 will be a slightly shorter episode as well. But you know what? We made it to 50.
Yeah.
Oh, you're editing all this out?
I'll edit some of it out.
I get to report back on 51, how the flight down to Ryan went and to pick up my buyer for my vehicle. It's funny. He said, when would you like to finalize the deal? I get off work at 4 p.m. in Tucson. I could get the cashier's check from the bank and meet you in Phoenix, but it'd be in the evening, so it'd be like 3 hours to get up there with traffic and everything, because for sure he'd be here about between 6 and 7, so that's rush hour and so forth, so that would be bad. And I'd rather meet at the bank, not him hand me a cashier's check that I can't verify, you know, after hours. And then he said, I had another idea. We could finalize the deal at the Bank of America. And I was like, there you go. And he's talking about Saturday. And I was like, yeah, B of A works good. And I told him one, there's one close to my house. And I said, you know, LOL, for 100 more, I'll fly you down to Tucson and pick you up. I'm a private pilot. You guys know how to spot a private pilot, right?
Yeah, he'll tell you.
That's right. So I said, then you don't have two cars down here, and you can drive us to the bank for your test drive. Hopefully he likes the truck. And then he didn't reply back all night long. And I was like, LOL, sorry, didn't mean to scare you. Just always looking for a reason to fly.
Correction, you've never seen me fly, have you?
Right, right. He's probably seen my YouTube videos. That's what scared him off. But he replied the next morning. So yeah, he was all good with that. So his kid's going to come along too. So, and I have a feeling that he's been in a plane before, because, he said, are you flying to Ryan's field, the airport west of Tucson? If so, we can meet at Todd's place. You can taxi your airplane right up to Todd's. So I was like, huh. I think he knows something about planes, because I don't even know what Todd's place is, but I've never been to Ryan Field either. And I was planning on just picking him right up at Tucson International, but even better getting to Ryan, because it's a little bit closer. And it's
probably a lot less expensive.
Yeah, well, I don't think it don't cost me anything to get in and out of Tucson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's where I was doing all my night flights, doing stop and goes at Tucson. But he said Todd's place is a coffee shop restaurant. On one side is the parking lot, and the other side's the taxiway to the hangars, mostly Cessna and Piper Cubs. He says U.S. Customs use that field for practicing purposes. And I asked him how much him and his son weighed together, and so I could make sure I was going to be okay. So I think maybe he knows a little bit about GA airplanes or something. So I'm excited to meet him. His brother, he sent his brother over to my house, who lives in Glendale. And I said, well, that's cool. I live in Peoria. We're probably close by. And sure enough, I drive by his house almost every day to work. So he came over and took a look at the truck and saw it was in good condition, reported back to his brother. And that's how this all happened. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's been a busy week. Bought a truck, sold a truck, bought a house, and now we're looking to sell a house. So we got Tuesday, we're leaving for California, hooking up the new truck to the trailer, and we're driving down to Pomona, California, to a KOA, and having Thanksgiving with a bunch of friends of ours and their families and stuff. There's going to be like 60 of us there. We're cooking 3 prime ribs and 4 turkeys.
Yet again, I hear this trailer talk, and
yeah,
thinking you made the wrong decision getting a trailer and not an airplane. Just saying.
Well, it's a $6,000 trailer. I can't get much of an airplane for $6,000.
Get an ultralight. Good enough. It flies.
Yeah, I know, right?
In fact, you probably don't even need the engine. It's in the summertime there. It's so hot, you can just use thermals right off the ground.
No. Listen, I'm telling you, make the wife happy. Then when it comes time to ask for the airplane, she remembers. That's how this works, John.
So this is...
How's that working for you so far, Chris?
This is planning years in advance.
Have you been able to make her happy? Have you been able to make her happy yet?
That's a different subject.
So here's where I'm at right now. We had a discussion the other day about who were we talking about? We're talking about kids and all that kind of stuff. Discussion came to my car. Right, I have a 2009 Nissan Versa, cheapest car you could buy in America at the time, and so her thought was, okay, so eventually when we have kids, you have to get a new car. And I was like, well, this is the first time hearing about this.
A minivan.
And no, it was mainly just something safer. I was like, okay, whatever. So I started talking about that, and I was like, all right, well, I was like, well, if you're going to make me get a car, then I'm going to have to skip the airplane for now. And, you know, I said that, I started looking at cars, you know, looking at some stuff, and I was just like, yeah, it's just not going to work. I'm not going to be able to do both. I can do one or the other. And so after a while, talking about the car for a little while, she started talking about feeling really, really bad about the airplane. She's like, I feel bad. She's like, I don't want you to give up the airplane. She's like, you know what? The car's, you're not going to drive the kids around that much anyway. It's probably fine.
I like Lindsay.
So
already.
It was at that point, I was like, you know, I trained you well.
Lindsay's all right in my book.
I got a cake rater and she feels bad about me not getting an airplane. So I'm set.
Yeah. I think you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Somehow that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she knew from the get-go what she was getting into. So we'll see what happens. I'm still not sure. I like that Cherokee though. That Cherokee. $38K. Split between two people. It's a reasonable price.
It's reasonable. That's doable. Hey, I got something else to bring us back to aviation real quick here too. Top five mistakes you'll make during your first 250 hours.
Ooh, I can answer this one definitively.
Who wants to guess on some? John knows. John's good for one of these for sure. I know, but
flaps busting, down,
busting. Airspace.
There you go. There you go. Not retracting the flaps after takeoff.
Mode C off.
Squawk altitude.
Yeah, that one's actually not there. One that is on here, number one, and I don't know if it's ranked in like most often happening or not, but it's just a list of five. Taking off with one magneto.
Interesting.
Oh, never done that one.
I've never done that either. Hey, do you have a list of these?
Yeah, I'll pop them over to you real quick. It's from Sporty's website.
Okay, pasting these in the show notes now, so you listeners can see it as well.
It says, taking off with one magneto. This is much more common than I originally thought. Many of us don't want to talk about it. But by a show of hands, one evening we found the percentage of pilots that have made this mistake of not having the ignition set to both magnetos to be very high. I can see how it would be an easy thing to do. Especially on the airplane with where the key is, where you set your magneto to left, right, or both. In the Archer that I flew, there were switches on the overhead panel, so it'd probably be more difficult to do it on that one and not notice it. But I don't know. I haven't done it yet, not that I know of, unless I flew the whole trip on one magneto. But
you find it when you turn it off.
Yeah, I suppose you would, right? You'd be like, oh, that didn't seem like it clicked all the way over. Oh,
okay. Oh, speaking of which, we just pulled the mags out of one of the Archers and put in electronic ignition.
Ooh.
So I haven't flown it yet, but I'm curious to see how it works. I'm sure it's still dual ignition, but it's got to just be electronic.
Yeah. Doesn't that give you a little bit more power?
I imagine there could be all kinds of things that you could do with like electronically timed, you know, ignition. I don't know. I don't know what the system actually has. If it's just strict timing based off of the position of the crankshaft, or if it's, I can't imagine it's anything so sophisticated that as a computer, because they're just with the putting the sensors on it to make it fully electronically controlled would be crazy. But I'm curious to see it and try it. You know, it has, there is a different switch on the panel to control the magnetos, or not the magnetos, but the electronic ignition. So there's a different checklist in that plane now than the other Archer. And but we were having trouble starting it, and that's why they put it in. Anyway, okay. Sorry.
No problem.
So I haven't done number one.
Number two is
number two. I have done. I have failed in one instance to retract the flaps.
On a check ride.
Not on a check ride, but and not for very long. It was like, you know, I'm doing my cleanup thing, and I'm like, oh yeah, click.
I remember that story from you, John. He was tapping on the handle a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, let's put those away. Oh look, we're faster. Inadvertent flight into IMC.
Yeah,
no.
Three is the one, is the reason why I got my instrument rating, because I was so terrified that I was going to make some really bad judgment and fly into IMC. So, stayed ahead of that one. I only advertently fly into IMC.
Not inadvertently, but advertently.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't want to show up on one of these flight aware lists one day for that.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to make GA news accident of the day.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I've never done that either. I haven't been close to, and I've been pretty good about picking good days to fly lately. It's just not worth
dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four is the most common, it says. forgetting to remove the chocks or tie down rope.
I've yet to do this.
You're like, man, it's taking a lot of power to taxi today.
So I don't have tie down ropes with the hangar that we're in, right? Or chocks really, but in the same van, I have forgotten the cow plugs.
The cow plugs?
Yes.
Wow.
And when I started turning and you see the little red thing start flying around, you're like, oh, crap. Didn't start, but yeah.
I've started taxiing away with the luggage door open.
Oof.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Mine's been in op for months, so.
Apparently.
The luggage door?
Yeah, so nobody opens it.
The on the six, there's a luggage door in the front between the engine and the firewall, and or between the engine and the cockpit, and there's the main, there's the other double doors in the back on the left hand side of the plane, and there's a rule in the club that you have to lock the luggage door in the front. The luggage door in the back you don't lock because it's an exit, but the one in the front you're supposed to lock it, and apparently sometime. Either before I joined the club or before I started working on getting my rating on the six, somebody failed, either completely failed to close it or failed to lock it, somehow failed, and the door came off in flight.
Ooh.
That was a bit of a spendy deal for him.
Did it damage any surfaces when it whipped off and went back, hit the tail feathers or anything? Or?
It didn't hit the tail. It didn't hit the wing. It did a considerable amount of damage. You know, when it came off, it ripped off a chunk of skin.
Ooh. Right,
where the hinge was.
Yeah.
So it was a very expensive, you know, it was, I think, like 8 aviation unit repair.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was a bad deal.
Jeez. And number five, landing with low fuel.
Yeah, I've landed with less fuel than I would care for. I think 45 minutes is the lowest I've gone.
I don't think I've ever been below, like, 2 hours of fuel.
Yeah, I don't... I know I've been over 30 minutes by a bit, but I've never really calculated how much, because it always was more than the 30 minutes by quite a bit. But I remember getting to... where was it? Lake Havasu once, and that was the lowest I'd ever been. And one of the tanks was considerably lower than the other. And the other, I don't know, it was probably less than a quarter tank on almost dry on one tank and less than a quarter tank on the other. That seems scary for me because that was the lowest I'd ever been, but still plenty, more than 30 minutes worth at least.
Yeah, no, the difference being I've got fuel totalizers in all of our club aircraft. And so I actually know how much fuel is in them, you know.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful feature. But my rule is when you get to an hour's worth of fuel, you find an airport and land, no matter what. You don't continue. You find an airport that has fuel and you land there and you pick it up. That way you don't have to try to find an airport without the engine turning.
Yeah, just, no kidding. Ugh. What as fuel for Hunter Low-Lead came down since the regular gas has came down quite a bit?
I don't have any idea. I don't pay for fuel when I get it at the club. The fuel truck comes over, fills it up, we sign this thing, and then it goes away.
Let me look 100 LL prices.
Looking up local fuel prices on AirNav right now.
100LL.com. Look at that.
5.5. $6. 5.5. Yeah, it's normal.
Just pulling them up for my airport also. What do we have?
Yeah.
$5.59 for self-serve. $5.79 for full. We pay 50 cents a gallon off, so we pay $5.29 for full serve.
$5.35 if I can go on the freeze.
Wow. At the self-service pump over at Deer Valley, $4.89. That's not too shabby. Wonder what it is at Glendale. $5.30. It's worth going over to Deer Valley to get your fuel and then fly back to Glendale.
Yeah.
That's only 10, 40 cents a gallon.
That's the one thing about the residential air parks. Like, you don't realize that you don't have, generally speaking, they don't have fuel.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are some that are high end enough that you have fuel, but yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like we've exhausted our stuff. Yeah.
I think we've ran out of, stuff to talk about. I don't know how that is, but, I think we're at a wrap.
This is a quick cast 50.
So let's tell everybody where they can find us on the interwebs before we leave, if they haven't figured it out over these past 50 episodes.
Okay.
So, Chris.
Yeah. You can shoot me an email at chris@inthepatternpodcast.com or Twitter, CHOLABAZ, CHOLUBAZ. Same thing for the YouTube channel, or look us up on our Facebook page. That'll work too.
All right. And Brad, how about you?
You can reach me at brad@inthepatternpodcast.com, on Twitter as Brad Kane, and probably find me on Facebook and other various and sundry social media sites. Kane is spelled Kilo Oscar Echo Hotel November.
All right, and for me, you can find me at john@inthepatternpodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at Pilot Conway, and lately on YouTube at FlyOPA. I've been posting some stuff there. You can reach all of us on the podcast here at podcast@inthepatternpodcast.com. We're also on Twitter as InThePattern, or you can go ahead and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/InThePatternPodcast. Show notes for this episode and all our other 50 episodes can be found on our website at www.inthepatternpodcast.com. Please go ahead and send us any suggestions, comments, or critiques. We'd love to get any feedback. And if you get a chance, if you can go ahead and just leave us a review in iTunes, we'd greatly appreciate it. And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode 50 of the In the Pattern Podcast. We'd like to thank you all for listening. And remember, make left traffic. You're cleared for the option.
This and other great shows at the Aviation Media Network.
The Voices in Your Head .com.
Wait, hold on a second. Isn't this an aviation podcast?
Well, he said airplane. I'm not talking about that. This is a family program.
Oh, Brett. Oh, that way. Making it that way. Got it.
Okay.
So, we need a discussion.
I need another beer.
Anybody have shout outs?
I got nothing.
I don't.
Jeez.
I'll scratch that out of the show.
Yeah, next.
Let's take a moment to pause for station identification in the Battern Podcast. Coming to you live on the interwebs.
Woot.
Yay, happy 50th birthday.
Meh.
No. No.
Or episode.
Yeah. Not a birthday. Well, can you imagine doing this 50 years later?
No.
Welcome to episode 196.
Did you get your medical yet?
Huh?
There won't be medicals by then.